Welcome to day 37 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and today we are reading from the Amplified Bible from the book of Exodus, chapters 22, 23, and 24, starting at verse 1 of chapter 22. If a man steals an ox or sheep and kills it or sells it, he shall pay 5 oxen for an ox or 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief is found breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there shall be no blood shed for him. But if the sun has risen so he can be seen, but blood must be shed for slaying him, the thief, if he lives, must make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the beast which he stole is found in his possession alive, whether it is ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man causes a field or vineyard to be grazed over, or lets his beast loose and it feeds in another man's field, he shall make restitution of the best of his own field or his own vineyard. If fire breaks out and catches so that the stacked grain or standing grain or the field be consumed, he who kindled the fire shall make full restitution. If a man delivers to his neighbor money or goods to keep, and it is stolen out of the neighbor's house, then if the thief is found, he shall pay double. But if the thief is not found, the house owner shall appear before God, the judges as his agents, to find whether he stole his neighbor's goods. For every unlawful deed, whether it concerns ox, donkey, sheep, clothing, or any lost thing at all, which another identifies as his, the cause of both parties shall come before God, the judges. Whomever they shall condemn shall pay his neighbor double. If a man delivers to his neighbor a donkey, or an ox, or a sheep, or any beast to keep, and it dies, or is hurt, or driven away, no man seeing it, then an oath before the Lord shall be required between the two, that the man has not taken his neighbor's property, and the owner of it shall accept his word, and not require him to make the good the loss. But if it is stolen when in his care, he shall make restitution to its owner. If it be torn in pieces by some wild beast or by accident, let him bring the mangled carcass for witness. He shall not make good what was torn. And if a man borrows anything of his neighbor, and it gets hurt or dies without its owner being with it, the borrower shall make full restitution. But if the owner is with it when the damage is done, the borrower shall not make it good. If it is a hired thing, the damage is included in its hire. If a man seduces a virgin not betrothed and lies with her, he shall surely pay a dowry for her to become his wife. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money equivalent to the dowry of virgins. You shall not allow a woman to live who practices sorcery. Whoever lies carnally with a beast shall surely be put to death. He who sacrifices to any god but the Lord shall be utterly destroyed. You shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall burn. I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. If you lend money to any of my people with you who is poor, you shall not be to him as a creditor, neither shall you require interest from him. If you ever take your neighbor's garment in pledge, you shall give it back to him before the sun goes down, for that is his only covering, his clothing for his body. In what shall he sleep? When he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious and merciful. You shall not revile God, the judges as his agents, or esteem lightly or curse a ruler of your people. You shall not delay to bring to me from the fullness of your harvested grain and the outflow of your grape juice and olive oil. Give me the firstborn of your sons or redeem them. Likewise shall you do with your own oxen and your sheep. 7 days the firstborn beast shall be with its mother. On the eighth day you shall give it to me. And you shall be holy men, consecrated to me. Therefore you shall not eat any flesh that is torn by beasts in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs. Chapter 23. You shall not repeat or raise a false report. You shall not join with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you bear witness at a trial so as to side with a multitude to pervert justice. Neither shall you be partial to a poor man in his trial just because he's poor. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying helpless under his load, and you shall restrain from leaving the man to cope with it alone. You shall help him to release the animal. You shall not pervert the justice due to your poor in his cause. Keep far from a false matter, and be very careful not to condemn to death the innocent and the righteous, for I will not justify and acquit the wicked. You shall take no bribe, for the bribe blinds those who have sight and perverts the testimony and the cause of the righteous. Also, you shall not oppress a temporary resident, for you know the heart of a stranger and sojourner, seeing you were strangers and sojourners in Egypt. 6 years you shall sow your land and reap its yield. But the seventh year you shall release it and let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat what the land voluntarily yields, and what they leave the wild beasts will eat. In like manner you shall deal with your vineyard and olive grove. 6 days you shall do your work, but the seventh day you shall rest and keep Sabbath, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your bondwoman and the alien may be refreshed. In all I have said to you, take heed. Do not mention the name of other gods, either in blessing or cursing. Do not let such speech be heard from your mouth. 3 times in the year you shall keep a feast to me. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty-handed. Also, you shall keep the feast of harvest, Pentecost, acknowledging the first fruits of your toil, of what you sow in the field. And third, you shall keep the feast of ingathering, booths or tabernacles, at the end of the year, when you gather in the fruit of your labors from the field. 3 times in the year, all your males shall appear before the Lord God. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, but keep it unmixed. Neither shall the fat of my feast remain all night until morning. The first of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep and guard you on the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Give heed to him, listen to and obey his voice. Be not rebellious before him or provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if you will indeed listen to and obey his voice and all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. When my angel goes before you and brings you to the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I reject them and blot them out, you shall not bow down to their gods or serve them or do after their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break down their pillars and images. You shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness from your midst. None shall lose her young by miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror before you and will throw into confusion all the people to whom you shall come, and I will make your foes turn from you in flight. I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, Canaanite, and Hittite from before you. I will not drive them out before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate for lack of attention, and the wild beasts multiply against you. Little by little I will drive them out from before you, until you have increased and are numerous enough to take possession of the land. I will set your borders from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness to the river Euphrates, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them or their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me, for if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Chapter 24. God said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons, and 70 of Israel's elders, and worship at a distance. Moses alone shall come near the Lord, the others shall not come near, and neither shall the people come up with him." Moses came and told the people all that the Lord had said, and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. He rose up early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 pillars representing Israel's 12 tribes. And he sent young Israelite men who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he dashed against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has said we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the remaining half of the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up the mountainside. And they saw the God of Israel, that is, a convincing manifestation of his presence, and under his feet it was like pavement of bright sapphire stone, like the very heavens in clearness. And upon the nobles of the Israelites he laid not his hand to conceal himself from them, to rebuke their daring or to harm them. But they saw the manifestation of the presence of God and ate and drank. And the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me into the mountain and be there, and I will give you tables of stone with the law and the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them." So Moses rose up with Joshua his attendant, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Tarry here for us until we come back to you. Remember, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a cause, let him go to them." Then Moses went up into the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, God called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the glory of the Lord appeared to the Israelites like devouring fire on top of the mountain. Moses entered into the midst of the cloud and went up the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and nights. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's Bible reading, we find a grouping of various and sundry laws that were given to the people of Israel in addition to the Ten Commandments. And these addressed a variety of subjects, from property rights to theft and restitution, and not oppressing an orphan or a widow, or taking bribes, and various laws that were for the purpose of establishing a just society in which the people of Israel would be able to live with justice and righteousness being the foundation. And in the midst of all of it, we find one specific law that I wanted to bring to your attention before we move on. And it was the law about, and we'll see it actually mentioned several times in the Old Testament. And it's the law that says that the Israelites are never to oppress a stranger, meaning a foreigner that's living in the land, since you yourselves know the feelings of a stranger, for you also were strangers in the land of Egypt. So this law was talking about how to deal with foreigners that live in your midst. And we, in the United States, we have many people who are from every nation on the planet, especially here in Southern California, in the greater Los Angeles area. I'm quite confident that we could find someone from every single nation on the earth living in the greater Los Angeles area. And the scripture here specifically was a command to the people of Israel to be very careful how they dealt with foreigners, that they were not to be unkind to foreigners, because they should remember what it felt like to be a foreigner when they were foreigners in the land of Egypt. And yet at the same time, we are told that in chapter 23 that they are going to be going into what is referred to as the promised land, the place that God had ordained for the Israelites to live and prosper and multiply, and that they were to drive out the inhabitants of that land who were idol worshipers and people that worshipped false gods, and to be careful that they were not to become a snare to the people of Israel. So we have this interesting balance, because they're told not to be unkind or oppress a foreigner. But on the other hand, they are told when you're in this land and these foreigners surround you, to be careful that they did not fall into the trap of making covenants with them or worshiping their gods. So how do we balance the two? We know that as believers living in a day when we are more and more not living in a homogeneous grouping, meaning that everybody's the same, everyone's from the same place, everybody worships the same, etc. We're not. We're living in a time when there's this phenomenal influx of people from all the nations of the earth, a lot of people moving to different countries, and they bring with them the culture that they were raised in and often the God that they worship, which may not be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the God that the Christian church believes and worships. So what is our responsibility according to the Word of God? Well, one thing I want to bring up is that it is critical that we, as people who love and honor God, have the heart and the spirit of the Lord and not just try to take the letter of the law. We are told here that we are to never to be unkind or never to oppress in any way someone who's a foreigner, and that we are to be very careful to remember what it would feel like to be a foreigner in a foreign land ourselves. The Israelites were reminded, you know what that feels like. You know the feelings of a stranger, for you also were strangers in the land of Egypt. And we can imagine what it would be like to have to move to a foreign country and be among foreigners and hear a foreign tongue spoken all the time, and that we're to have mercy on people who are in that situation and be loving and show the love of God to them. At the same time, we're not to pick up the worship of a God that's a false God. We're not to pick up the culture of the land that doesn't honor God. And even in the United States, there's many people who are around us. Maybe they're not foreigners. Maybe they were raised in the nation, yet they absolutely do not worship the Lord. They don't know the Lord, and they are perhaps pursuing the worship of idols of this generation. Maybe it's the idol of pursuit of money or fame or prosperity as an idol, or status, or something along that line, and it's something that it's cultural idol worship. It may not be some religious idol worship, but it's idol worship all the same. There are idols today, maybe not being bowed down to and put fruit offerings in front of, but they are idols if they take all of your attention and your passion and your worship, so to speak, and your money. And so we have to be careful we don't get caught up in the same idolatry of the culture that we live in. And the Israelites were warned about this, going into a land and ending up being influenced by the idol worshiping people that were around. And the Lord warned them to never end up worshiping those gods, because it says, "For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you." In our generation, there is idol worship. There is, that is not religious necessarily, although there's that also. But it's not necessarily a religious thing to serve the idol of fame or money or financial materialism and those sorts of things. Those are idols that people serve. Those are idols that people pursue. Those are idols that people bow down to in their lives by putting so much time and effort and money into it that they literally have become the idol that they are honoring day in and day out in their lives. And just because you live in a nation where that's happening all around you, the Lord's warning to us even today is be careful, because if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. The Lord doesn't want us to do that. It doesn't mean God wants us to hate people who aren't worshiping our God. Absolutely not. On the contrary, we are to show the love of God to every single person. That is God's will. And I know that there are some extreme people who have claimed to be Christians, and yet they are extremists in the sense of being opposed to certain groups of people living in our nation, or people who serve a certain false god or pursue certain religions that are not the Christian religion, and yet having hatred or spite for those people is absolutely not the heart of God. God doesn't hate them. God sent Jesus to die for them. It's our part to be his representatives of love and truth, and love being prominent in sharing the truth. Love being the motivator, not anger or hatred or spite for other people who do not know the Lord yet. So God wants us to be his representatives, walking in love, sharing his love, never hating someone who isn't the same as us, but at the same time, not getting snared into idolatry or false religion or any of those things. And in fact, in this 24th chapter that we just heard read, we find the place where after the Lord tells the Israelites all these laws, these basically laws for the community, for society to be able to function in a godly way, to do right towards people, to punish things that are wrong, whether it was theft or lying or bribes or any of that. After the Lord laid those things down, he invited them to make a covenant with him to be their God and for them to be his people. And the Lord makes that same call to each one of us. In chapter 24 of Exodus, the people of Israel affirmed their covenant with God. And they said it this way, that they would obey all the words of the Lord and all that God had commanded them. That was their covenant with the Lord. And it was a covenant in blood, we saw, that they sacrificed, that they shed blood, because that was a symbol of making a covenant, entering into an agreement that would not be broken. And so the blood was shed of these animals. They made the burnt offerings. And then after reading the Book of the Covenant, which is what all these sundry laws were called, the ones outside the Ten Commandments plus these laws were called the Book of the Covenant. And so when Moses took the Book of the Covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." So that was the people affirming their covenant with God. And so Moses took the blood, he sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with these words." And what was God's side of the covenant? It was very beautiful, actually. It was a very beautiful promise, because their promise was to obey the Lord. All these things that God had spoken to them, not to steal, not to kill, take care of the widow and the stranger. I mean, there was many, the Ten Commandments plus these extra sundry laws. But what was God's promise? It was so beautiful. Here's God's side of the covenant. It's where he promised them. He said, "You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst." That was part of the covenant. God's promise to bless their bread and their water means he's going to bless their food and their provision, what they needed to live. So God will bless your provision. And he said, "I will remove sickness from your midst." What a beautiful promise. And then it goes on in the next verse to say, "There shall be no one miscarrying or barren in your land." That's a big promise, because we know many people who've had miscarriages or who are barren. And this was a promise that they wouldn't lose a child through miscarriage, or they wouldn't be barren, not able to bear children. This was like the blessing of the covenant of God that was promised to the people of Israel. And then this last part was, "I will fulfill the number of your days," which means you will not die prematurely. You'll live a full life. "I'll fulfill the number of your days." You're not going to die young. You're going to live to a ripe old age, full of days, as is often said of some of the patriarchs, is full of days, and he went to be with the Lord. Well, that's what God's saying here. "I'll fulfill the number of your days." And then the next promise was, "I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come, and I'll make your enemies turn their backs to you." So it was an idea that God would go before them. He would remove the trouble that would try to attack them, and enemies would flee from them. And then more promises, and you will become fruitful, take possession of the land. And so it was this amazing promises, God's side, so to speak, of the covenant. The people's side was, "We'll obey the Lord." And you know, this covenant, though it's an Old Testament covenant, and now we have, as the scripture tells us, a new and better covenant, which is with the Lord through Jesus Christ. But this old covenant, I mean, the new and better covenant encompasses the old. In other words, it's not worse than the covenant. It says it's new and better covenant. So this covenant, which was good, that God's going to bless your provisions, remove sickness from your midst, this is powerful, and it's encompassed in the new covenant as well. And so we need to look at this as something that we can apply even to our own lives, that the covenant of God with the people who will honor and obey him, and we can only do that by the grace of God, which is part of why the Lord gave these commandments, was to show in the Old Testament that no person could fulfill the commandments of God perfectly. No person. We will see as we continue reading that the people of Israel broke the covenant so many times. And that's why Jesus was sent to the earth, because we can't keep the commands of God's in our own strength. We cannot. And that's basically what the Old Testament teaches us. God wants a holy people. He has his laws, and yet we can't keep them in our own strength. But only through the grace of God that is brought by Jesus Christ and the covenant through Jesus' blood can we even be in right relationship with the Lord. Because these people who wanted to serve God, wanted to obey God, with their mouths they said, "We will do all that the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do. Well, they wanted to. There was a desire, yet they could not fulfill it. None of us can. We can't keep our lives perfect. We can't avoid every sin. None of those things. And that's what the New Testament of grace and God supplying grace to us and Jesus' forgiveness that comes through Christ Jesus teaches us. But this was a picture of God desiring to have covenant relationship with his people who would follow him. And well, as I said, we'll see them not follow very well, but you see a desire here. They affirm their covenant with God. All the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do, they said. And God's promises were so beautiful. I'll lead you, I'll guide you, I'll protect you, I'll go before you, I'll remove your enemies, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. So there was so much promise here, and yet the promise still applies today for those who desire and commit themselves to following the Lord. But without a doubt, we thank God we're in the New Testament because we need the grace and forgiveness and mercy that Jesus established through his own blood for us. Because like the people of Israel here, we desire all to do all the words which the Lord has spoken, but we are unable. We need the Lord. So God wants to bless us. He wants to protect us. He wants to go before us. He wants to remove the enemies that would try to attack us. He wants to remove sickness from your midst. That's the desire of God. And in Christ Jesus, we have that same promise. But we need to look to him. And we'll be, when we move into the New Testament reading, we'll talk more about this. But this picture in the Old Testament gives us the heart of God. It shows us God's desire for his people, that there be no one that miscarry, there be no one that's barren in your land, that sickness is removed from your midst. You know, that's the heart of God. It was the heart of God for the people in the Old Testament. It's certainly the heart of God still. That has not changed. That shows the beautiful heart of God, the covenant promise that God wants to give to you today. If you're struggling with sickness today, you're struggling with disease of any kind, if you've been barren or miscarried and wondered what is happening, you know, it is the heart of God that you receive the covenant blessing that he promised to the people of Israel and that he affirmed in his covenant through the blood of Jesus, that God's a healing God. You heard the scripture read a few days ago that says, I am the Lord who heals you. That hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. That's still his heart. Let's just put our trust in the Lord. Let's put our eyes on Jesus and tell the Lord, I believe I'm part of the new covenant. And you said you'd give me a new and better covenant. And that covenant isn't less than this one. It's more. So freedom from sickness, healing from disease, blessings for people who desire children. Those are all in the covenant of relationship with Jesus Christ, with the Lord through Jesus Christ. So put your trust in him today. He wants to bring these blessings to you and more than the ones even promised here in the book of Exodus. That's what his covenant promise for us today includes, and more than that, which we'll talk more about when we get to the New Testament. But God bless you. Put your trust in the Lord. He still is the Lord who heals us. Have a great week.